So good to see each and every one tonight. We're thankful to God for the good day that He has blessed us with. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we're so thankful that you have come our way. We appreciate the encouragement that is to us. I was feeling pretty good about a couple of Sam's comments, and especially the one about the roof blowing off. I thought that may have been a good thing, but then David leaned forward and said, "It's because all the hot air." So I guess that may not be such a good thing, but appreciate the things that Sam said, and we're thankful to be back with you tonight. You know, I couldn't help but think Sam was talking about me being late, and maybe that happened on occasion, and most of the reason for that was because I got run off the road by Nancy as she was on her way to services. So that's where that came from. So it is good to be together tonight. We're thankful to be able to do this together. I want to encourage you to take out your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians will be the text from which we'll take our lesson together this evening. If we look into the book of the Thessalonians, we see a very good group of people. We find a congregation, as we see it in the New Testament in this time when this letter is written, that is a very well-founded group of people, a very devoted group of Christians, and that are working in the kingdom of God and conducting themselves in such a way that they would honor God. And we find that as we look at the things that Paul wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians, that he was very proud of that group of people. In chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10, we'll put some of these texts on the screen here. In chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10, we find a faithful and exemplary group of people. A wonderful group of people with whom he was very familiar and to whom he writes expressing his appreciation to God for who they were. And I couldn't help but thinking that many of the things that he said to them would be things that I would say to this group of people here that I love and appreciate very much. And here Paul said in chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Here is a group of people that had an evangelistic spirit. They were faithful to God. They were working together and exemplary to others. In chapter 1 and verse 3, there this kind of familiar triad of things that we oftentimes read in the New Testament. Faith and hope and love, and these were things that this group of people had. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." So Paul, when he would pray to the Lord God, he would remember these people just as from time to time we do you. And he was thankful for them and grateful for who they were and his remembrance of the relationship that they had together. As you come just a little bit further in the book, in chapter 2 and verse 13, he again is talking about the quality of these people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." This was an effective group of people. They had received the word of God, they had taken that in, and they then were, in terms of their faith, growing in those things and teaching others. And we see that in chapter 3 and verses 6 through 8 as well. that here were a group of people that as they remembered them, that he was comforted concerning their faith. When you haven't seen a group of people in a while, and you come back and you see those familiar faces, maybe you haven't seen them for a while, and there they are, and they're constant and faithful, and they're honoring God and working together, there's such a comfort in that. And we've been comforted already in seeing you. So as we look at this group of people, we find a group, by all accounts, who were doing very well. They were striving for the truth. They were a good example. They were worthy of commendation. They were worthy of Paul's praise, which he does in this book. But that being said, Paul encourages them not to rest on their laurels, not to be satisfied with where they were, but to grow and to continue in the faith and the things that they were doing. That he even would tell them that there are better days ahead for you. Do not stop. Do not drag your feet. Do not become passive. I want to take our lesson tonight from the third chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians and verse 12. And he introduces some thoughts that he's going to expand upon in chapter 4. But he says there in verse 12 of chapter 3, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." May the Lord make you to increase and abound. As you get into chapter 4 and verse 1, and also in verse 10, you find him expanding on that idea. Verse 1 says that you should abound more and more. And then in verse 10, he says that you may increase more and more. May you abound and may you increase. You're doing well, but may you continue and may you increase and abound more and more. And maybe that be something that will continue as he had a relationship with them. Folks, there's a difference between motion and progress. A lot of times I think we can be like children on a rocking horse where there's movement, but maybe we're not progressing. Maybe in our faith we're not progressing. We're moving back and forth perhaps in some way, but staying in the same place. And we've got to push ourselves forward. We may be doing well, but to advance and to go forward. And as we look at chapter 4, Paul says, abound more and more, and he tells us some things in which we ought to be doing that. The first thing that he mentions here is that we please God in our walk. How is your walk with God? How are you walking with God? Is that a walk with God that he would be pleased with? I remember when my children were younger, they had just obeyed the gospel. We were eating dinner with a family that were from Ghana, and this was in a gospel meeting in Maryland, and we're sitting at the table and having just conversation, and Kwaku says to my children, "How is your walk?" And just putting us on the spot to stop and think, how am I walking with God? How am I doing? How is my faith? How is my relationship with my Creator? And perhaps we need to think about that and ask ourselves that question. But we know, and he says here, that we can know how we ought to walk in verse 1. That you receive from us, he says, just how you ought to walk and to please God. And he goes on in verse 2 to say how that's done, and that is by the commandments that you have received. How is our walk with God? You know, that can be something that we kind of approach with a rather lackadaisical attitude. As we think about that we might just kind of ponder that without any real emotion, without any real urgency to it. But both in verse 1 and also in verse 10, He says, this is something urgent. This is not just something that's nebulous or, you know, when I get to it. He says, I urge you. When Paul reached out to these brethren and wrote this letter, he urged them that they would be a certain way. We urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. And then verse 10, we urge you, brethren. And so here he says, you're doing well. But we urge you, abound and increase more and more. There is a sense of urgency, folks, that we need to have. Can you think of anything that would require or necessitate more urgency from us than the kingdom of God and His righteousness and the way that we ought to live in that kingdom and the way that we ought to talk to others in terms of their need for that kingdom? And this is something that we need to do today and not tomorrow. To please God in our walk. And to be those that would understand what those Old Testament patriarchs of old understood, and that is, when God tells me to do something, I need to get about that now. That's not something that I put off into the future. You look at Joshua and Moses and Abraham, and over again, as we look back into the Old Testament, in every occasion almost, that those folks were told to do something, you remember what the Bible always says that they did? They rose up early. That Joshua rose up early. Chapter 3 and verse 1, he rose up early in preparation for battle. In chapter 6 and verse 12 and verse 15, in preparation to march around Jericho, he rose up early. In chapter 7, in dealing with sin, he rose up early. In the further chapter there, in chapter 8 and verse 10, in a failure that was committed at Ai, he rose up early to deal with that over and over again. Moses, the same thing. Abraham, go sacrifice your son. He rose up early. This is not something that we put off to tomorrow. This is something that's urgent. When we look into the New Testament, we find individuals, early saints, that when God called them to do something, they did it. And they did it immediately. When they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the jailer in the same hour of the night was baptized. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Here are James and John and Andrew and Peter, and they are called to be fishers of men, and they left their nets and immediately followed Jesus Christ. Paul becomes a Christian, and immediately he began preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need urgency in the kingdom. And let me encourage us, when we think about evangelism and teaching and preparation and attendance and hospitality, to take into account the words of Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, progressive improvement beats delayed perfection. If we are waiting for the ideal time and the ideal knowledge and the ideal circumstances, and the ideal this, that, and the other, we will never do anything. We've got to do it now. And it calls to mind, in my mind, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, where the wise man there said, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What are we waiting on? To grow, to expand, to increase more and more, to press forward. I don't know about you, but I find a lot of excuses about why I am not as urgent as I need to be in the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful for this group, in terms of my history, for the desire that you have for evangelism in other places of the world. And I'd like to just mention to you that you support Elver Espinosa over in Mexico and also Rolfine Lopez. But I talked to Elver yesterday, and they just baptized two new Christians there in San Cristobal. And that is fruit that abounds to your account. And I remember on occasion when I was working here that there were times when we could have cut back the support of those in other countries. And I'm thankful for the work you do in other places. And I remember the elders as they met together and we would talk about that, and they said, there's one thing we're going to try to do, and that is we are not going to cut off the support of these men if we can by all means keep from it. We've always been exemplary in that way. And when we think about that, increasing more and more, what can I do personally? Can I give more? Can I encourage more? Can I invite more? Can I visit more and increase in what I'm doing? How about Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? How about other opportunities that I have to hear the gospel, to encourage others in other places? They're sure encouraging us tonight, but to do that as I can and increase more and more. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, second point that I'd like to make here as we continue, and that is we need to honor God in terms of our bodies. We need to increase and abound more and more in our appreciation for the fact, as we mentioned last night, that we've been sanctified, that we're His, that I am not, capital S, a sinner. That's not me. And I am not in an armada of human beings the same as everybody else. But I have been sanctified. And I am different. And I am His. And that makes me special. And that's what he says here in verse 4 and 5. Notice he says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. We do not walk like pagans walk. That doesn't describe us. That's not who we are. We know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor and please Him. And honor Him with our lives. I am a saint purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I need to act like that at all times. And be that. To take possession of that rather than cede that to another or to the world. And he says there in verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. And he goes on to say that if you reject that and you don't act like that, you're not rejecting man. You're not rejecting some preacher somewhere that says something or some teacher. You are rejecting the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, that's who you are rejecting. He who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. He has valued us and set us apart. We have some dishes in our house that we just kind of throw around. And we'll throw them in the dishwasher and we'll use them. And if they get a chip, that's okay. We'll throw them away. And we don't really think anything of that. That's our day-to-day common use that we place on those things. But then we have some awfully special stuff that when people like you come to our house, maybe that we hadn't seen for a while, that we'll get out of that cabinet and we'll use it. And if we were to chip that or drop that, that would be a very serious thing for us. God has set us apart. We're different. We're special. And we better know how to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor, and abound more and more in that. And folks, that takes courage nowadays. That takes a lot of strength in our society to have that. Because it's sure not being encouraged in our world. In this society where anything goes, that's not something we're going to ever hear from anybody. To possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Jesus said, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It's hard to go against the flow. It's hard to swim upstream. You ever watch any of those National Geographic specials with the salmon and they're swimming upstream and here are these bears that are standing by the waterfall trying to snatch one out of the air as it jumps upstream up that river? It's an amazing process. These little fish are born in these fast-moving rivers and they're moved after they stay there for a while. They kind of grow up there a little bit and then they go on downstream. And so especially the Pacific version of these go down to the Pacific Ocean, far, far away from where they're born. And then something toward the end of their existence drives them to go back home. And they swim upstream. And here is all of this stuff. As they get closer to home, it gets harder and harder. And there's more debris and more logs and every other fish is swimming the other way. And here they're going upstream. And that's not an easy thing. And let me tell you, as you get a little closer to home, sometimes it gets harder, not easier. But we're swimming against the current. We're swimming upstream. And it's hard. And it's difficult. And everything else is against us. But we want to go home. And that's what we do. And I tell you what, it helps me to know that there are others that are swimming upstream with me. And you know, I think about relationships sometime, and the fact is, back home in Colorado, we've got a good group of people, but much like any group, there's folks in that group that I just don't talk to a whole lot. And we don't have necessarily the same personality. And so we may not have a lot of interaction, you know, from week to week, but it helps me immensely to know that they're swimming upstream right along with me. And I can look over and I may not talk to them, but there they are. This is what it's about. We need to abound more and more and profess our love for one another. Verse 9 and verse 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. That's almost like saying, this is something I don't have to say, but I'm going to say it by not saying it. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. God has taught us to love one another. That's clear. The problem is, are we doing it? This is something we really don't have to say. It's just something that we have to do. But we have to have a dependency upon one another. And to love one another and to hold up each other's hands, just like Aaron and Hur did for Moses. We need that so badly. Sometimes we're just not doing that for one another. But we're a family, we're Christians, and we need each other. And sometimes we are, I like what one guy said, that we are not monuments in a museum, but living stones in the temple of God. We're not here just to stand still, but we're living stones, and we're active, and we're alive. And we're synergetic. And we need to learn the benefits of synergy. That's not an abstract kind of idea. That's a Bible word. You can find that word in the Bible in Greek. It's translated fellow workers. As you look back into some of the New Testament passages in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. Synergy. We are, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, fellow workers for your joy. 3 John 1:8, we are fellow workers for the truth. It's an amazing concept that an animal that can pull 8,000 pounds and another animal that can pull another 8,000 pounds, you put them together and you don't get 16,000 pounds. You get 20,000 pounds or 24,000 pounds. It's because I don't know all of the logistics of how that works, but that friction is spread out and that energy is moved through the hole. And like the Peloton that's running down the hill, a group moving faster together. If we just learn that principle and stop tearing each other down sometimes. But we need to be abounding more and more. Can I encourage you with what happens in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? And I don't know how long had passed between all of what he said in 1 Thessalonians. To increase more and more. To abound more and more. And then he writes them, I believe the consensus is within a year of 2 Thessalonians here. And in chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, here is a group of people, a good group of people that were good and getting better. And what a blessing that is. But look at verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Abound more and more, increase more and more, and he writes them a little bit later and says, you have done exceedingly well. What a blessing. May God help us wherever we are to do that. Whatever group that we're a part of, that we make that our aim. And to have the courage that that takes. Sometimes that's not an easy thing, but to have the courage that that takes to do that. I like what General Patton said. He said, courage is fear holding on another minute. And sometimes we get discouraged, and sometimes it's hard. But we need to be courageous, and we need to be abounding more and more. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're not a part of the body of Jesus Christ. There's no greater relationship that you can share with people on the face of this earth than what we have right here. May God help us to abound more and more in it, to love each other more, to encourage each other more, and to swim upstream faster and faster with each other as we head towards home. May God help us in that. If you're not here tonight and you need to be a part of the family of God, the eternal family of God, we want to encourage you in every way we can to do that. We'd love to see you be baptized tonight. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand?